place where unsuspecting teenagers come to have sex and get murdered. I laugh and look sideways at him. Don't embarrass me in front of my friend. Realm's a good guy. Was he more than a friend? Not that it's any of my business. He lowers his eyes. A sudden rush of guilt spreads over me. No, it's okay to ask. It was complicated, I guess. James doesn't say anything, but I can feel a heavy silence fill the car. Not sure what else to do, I open the door and get out, waiting for James to follow me up to the house. On the front porch, I'm overwhelmed with nervousness and excitement. I'm about to see Realm again. It's been over a month. Will he look different? I know I do. The door opens just a crack as he peers out, reminding me of how he would do that in the program when we were sneaking around. My smile spreads, and then the door flies open and Realm steps forward, swinging me into a big hug before I can even get a look at him. Hey, sweetness, he says, crushing me against him. I can't believe you're here. Realm smells good, not like detergent and soap, but of clean skin, a hint of cologne. I pull back to look at him. His hair is shorter, his complexion less ghostly. It's then that he notices James leaning against the porch railing. Oh, hi, Realm says, sounding surprised. He offers his hand, and James takes it. Michael Realm, Realm says. James Murphy. The smile abruptly falls from Realm's face, and I see the color that was just there drain away. Nice to meet you, he practically whispers and takes a step back. He shoots a dark look at me. Come in. He pushes the door open and motions for us to enter. James thanks him, and I can't help but see the small bit of satisfaction in his expression at Realm's discomfort. We stand around the entry as Realm follows us in and then bolts the door. The house is more like a cabin with exposed wooden beams and a rustic decor. It doesn't strike me as something Realm would be into, but then I don't really know what he was like before the program. Neither does he. So how have you been, Sloane? He asks, checking me over. Weird, I say. Everything has been a little weird for me. You? Oh, I'm just peachy. Realm leads us into the living room, and I sit on the couch while James takes a chair near the fireplace. Realm collapses next to me, wrapping me in a hug once again. God, I've missed you, he says. And I like the hair. You said not to change it. Well, I was wrong. You look great. Healthy, too. He glances at James, who is pretending to be fascinated by a painting of eagles on the wall. So, Realm says, dropping his arms in front of him and settling into the cushions. How do you two know each other? We're not dating, if that's what you're really asking, James says evenly. Realm smiles. I'm not asking that. James nods. Fair enough. There's a small sting to my self-esteem as James quickly dismisses our relationship, but I ignore it and touch Realm's arm to draw his attention. We're here because I need your help, I say. I'd do anything for you. At that second, an odd sensation comes over me, and I pause, trying to place it. It's not romantic, almost cautious, but it's gone before I can finish the thought, like an emotional déjà vu. I reach into my back pocket and take out the picture, giving it to Realm. When he sees it, he sucks in a harsh breath. Where did you get this? He asks immediately. I found it. It was strange. I was home, and then all of a sudden I had this flash of a memory from before. I saw myself putting this picture into a slit in my mattress. That's my brother, I say, pointing to Brady's face. And that's him. I jerk my thumb over my shoulder and hear James chuckle. Realm's jaw is tightly clenched, and he hands me back the photo. And what are you asking me? His voice is cold. I don't remember her brother, James interrupts. I want to know how to get my memories back. Realm eyes him. You can't. I don't believe you, James says, as if sensing something in Realm's voice. James had said that he didn't think we could get our memories back, but he must have changed his mind. Realm, I say, trying to diffuse the tension building between him and James. You told me in the program that if I needed you, you'd help me. What did you mean? How did I have that memory? Realm intertwines his fingers with mine as he stares down at them, his hand cool. Remember Roger? My stomach twists at the name. Although it's foggy, I do remember the creepy handler. Yeah. The purple pill? I pause. There's the hint of a memory, an overpowering taste of peppermint. I shiver, my thoughts jumbled as if they've been manipulated somehow. But there had been a pill, and I took it. He said I could save a memory, I murmur. Wait, James speaks up. You got to save a memory? How did that work? Later, I tell him. He scoffs, looking like he's about to walk out. I told you then, Sloane. Realm takes his hand from mine. The memory would show up out of context, confusing you more. You shouldn't have taken it. Well, I did. Now how do I get more? Realm's brown eyes look at me sadly. You really can't. The memories are gone. Permanently. But I want to know who I was, I say. I want to know what happened to Brady, what happened to me. You should just move on. Start over. It's the best. What is your deal? James calls out. Do you work for the program or something? Who would tell someone to forget their past? We want to know, shithead. I want to know how I knew her brother. Realm shakes his head, but doesn't lose his cool. Instead, he gets up and walks to the fridge to grab a beer. He doesn't offer us one. After a long sip, he stares at James. You're kind of a dick, Realm says. James shrugs. Tell me something I don't know. And besides, you're really not all that different from us, are you? You've got a real pretty scar on your neck. Do you remember how you got it? I don't want to. Wouldn't you want to know so that you don't make the same mistakes again? Realm laughs, sounding bitter. That's the great thing, James Murphy. Some mistakes are destined to repeat themselves. He looks at me then, and then takes another long sip of beer. Right, Sloane? I'm completely thrown off by Realm's behavior. I have no idea what you're talking about, I say. I'm here to find out about my brother, about my past, and I don't know why you're acting like this. You sent Kevin to watch over me. You offered to help. To help you move on, he says softly, his eyes weak. Not this. Ah, James says from the fireplace. Now it makes sense. Sloane, let's go. He's not interested in helping. He just wanted to get in your pants. Why don't you just leave? Realm snaps. I don't recall inviting you. James grins. Maybe you did and don't remember. Realm seems to tire of the back and forth with James and finishes his beer before leaning against the counter and rubbing hard at his face. I can see that something is tearing him up, something beyond James and me. You know, don't you? I say, suddenly sure. I cross the room to stop in front of him. You know something about my past. He grabs another beer out of the fridge, starting in on it before leveling his stare on mine. Maybe. But I wish I didn't. I don't want to hurt you. Dude, James says like he's ready to fight. I swear. Realm reaches out then, running his fingers lovingly through my hair. His look is far away, and I'm suddenly embarrassed, like we're sharing an intimate moment. Realm and I were never together, not like that. But the familiarity of his movement shuts James up. You talked in the program, Realm says. We would talk about our lives sometimes when we were in bed. It's like a slap in the face, the way Realm makes it sound like there was something going on between us, the coldness with which he says it.
And you said I'm a dick? James asks, laughing. Not really an appropriate topic for company, do you think, Michael?
It's Realm.
Yeah, well, I'll call you what I want. And I think you should apologize because Sloane doesn't strike me as the kiss-and-tell type.
He straightens.
Or maybe I should just beat your ass right now.
No, I say, swallowing hard. I don't want any fighting. I look at James. It's fine. I promise it's fine. James nods and sits back down, his arms crossed over his chest.
I didn't mean that, Realm says, and we weren't sleeping together, he tosses to James, although it's obvious that he doesn't want to clear that part up. We were just friends. Who share a bed, James mutters, I'm sure.
Realm, I say, ignoring James's comment, what did I tell you? And how do you remember? I don't recall anything personal about anybody. Realm leans against the counter and drains at least half of his beer as I wait.
You have to understand something, sweetness. Your head, he taps lightly at my temple, is a very delicate place right now. The pieces were fit back together like fine china. One crack, like that picture, can shatter the whole thing. I don't want to hurt you. I really don't. If we just give it some time.
I lean into him, putting my hands on his chest as I stare up at him. Please. Realm looks defeated and finally nods.
Your brother didn't die in a rafting accident, Sloane. That was something the program made up. Brady killed himself. And you, both you and his best friend, James, were there when he did.
I gasp, Brady's image filling my mind. No, I say, staggering back. My brother didn't. My parents said it was an accident. Why would they lie? Why would... I feel like I might hyperventilate, and then there's an arm over my shoulder. James walks me to the couch, helping me sit down. No, I say again. The room is quiet for a while as I try to gather myself. I search my memory, looking for anything about Brady that could have led to this. But all I can see is my brother happy and smiling. What could have happened to him? James uses his thumbs to swipe under my eyes. It's going to be okay, Sloane, he says firmly. And the way he says it, so absolute, fills me with a sort of security. I turn back to Realm.
You shouldn't have kept that from me, I tell him, feeling betrayed.
Realm sets his empty bottle on the counter, looking at the fridge like he means to get another.
This can make you sick again. I'm risking your life telling you this and... God, what am I doing? It's too soon. Please, Sloane, this doesn't change anything. You have to move on. You're safe. I need you to be safe.
I feel James tense next to me.
What else?
I ask, my voice barely a whisper.
What else do you know, Realm?
You have to tell me. Realm stares at me, his face pained. And then he shakes his head.
That's all I have. I'm sorry.
Realm, I think you should go now. He pushes away from the counter and strides over to the door. He unlocks it and pulls it open, not looking back at us.
What?
I say.
No, you...
Sloane. His tone is final as he glances at me. I want you to leave.
This is bullshit, James says, getting up. He takes my hand. I watch Realm's eyes flash as James holds my fingers in his, but he looks away. Knowing I can't leave like this, I pull my hand from James's.
I'll meet you outside in a sec, I say.
James narrows his blue gaze on mine, a look so full of suspicion that I almost step away from it. Then he nods and leaves, shoulder bumping Realm on the way. Realm laughs bitterly.
Lovely meeting you, Mr. Murphy.
When we're alone, I walk over to Realm.
He stares at me, his jaw set in a challenge, but his eyes are almost desperate. And suddenly I hug him. He chokes out what sounds like a cry as he holds me tight to him.
"I've missed you so much," he whispers. "I've tried to keep you safe, Sloane. And then I'm the one who hurt you. I shouldn't have told you about Brady."
I pull back. "I want to know all of it," I say. "You have to tell me everything. I don't understand why my brother would kill himself."
The tears threaten to come again, and Realm puts his palm on my cheek. "He was just sick. It wasn't your fault."
"Then why did they take the memory?"
Realm closes his eyes. "I can't talk about this right now, Sweetness. I've messed up huge. I need to think. You shouldn't have found that picture."
"Yes," I tell him. "I should have."
"I want you to be happy," he says. "I swear it's all I want." He throws a cautious glance toward the car where James has his head against the steering wheel as if he's tired of waiting. Realm exhales. "You should go for now, okay?" Then he leans forward and kisses my cheek, pausing there for a long moment.
"What if I don't want to go?" I ask, hoping he'll tell me more about my brother, my past.
Realm seems to consider my question. "There are so many things you can't understand right now," he says, "but I need you to know that all I've ever wanted was for you to get better. Do you believe that?"
I nod. "I do."
I love you," he whispers, not able to look at me.
"I know."
And I don't have anything else to say back. Right now, I'm completely grief-stricken, feeling like I've just lost Brady, even though he's been gone for years. But here's Realm, so ready to love me, take care of me, fill up the empty spaces in my heart. I get on my tiptoes and press my lips firmly to his. Realm responds immediately, surprising me by backing me against the wall, his tongue eagerly finding mine as if he's been waiting to do this since I got here. My heart pounds, but the emotion is guilt, as if I'm being completely unfair, to him, to myself. I turn away then, breaking the kiss to hug him instead. Realm lets out a soft laugh, clinging to me tightly.
"You don't love me back," he says.
"Not like that. But maybe..."
"Maybe someday," he finishes for me.
Realm looks tired, maybe a little buzzed.
"You should go," he says again, and walks me onto the porch, keeping his eyes trained on the floorboards there.
Then, without another word, he goes back into the house and bolts his door shut. I stand there, still stunned by the revelation about my brother. I look at the car and James is watching me. He nods his chin as if asking if I'm okay, but I don't respond. I'm not okay. I'm so not okay.
Chapter 10. We're halfway back to town, passing darkened fields, when James looks sideways at me.
"That was some kiss," he says.
A blush rises on my cheeks. "I was saying goodbye."
"With your tongue?"
"What do you care?" I ask, ashamed that he saw, even though I'm not entirely sure why. "You couldn't even stand to hug me in my room that day."
"I took that hug like a trooper," he says with a smirk. "And I don't care who you make out with. I just think he's hiding something, so I'm surprised you'd be so naive. Thought you were smarter than that."
"And I thought you weren't going to be obnoxious."
"Never said I wouldn't be obnoxious," James says. "I try not to make promises I can't keep."
We're silent for a few miles, and I start thinking again about my brother. Brady had an accident. That's what my mother told me. She said he'd been rafting, but she never said I was there. She never said he killed himself.
I sniffle, and it's then that I realize I'm crying.
Hey, James says softly. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be.
It's not you, I say, waving off his concern.
James glides the car to the side of the road and parks.
I'm thinking about my brother, I tell him. I don't remember him dying, but we were there, James, me and you. What if we helped him kill himself?
Maybe we did.
His voice is empty, sad. He looks away as if he's searching his own memories. When he lowers his head, I know he's found nothing. We have nothing.
What if he said goodbye? I whisper. What if he said goodbye and I don't remember it?
Something inside of me breaks then, and I start to sob, picturing Brady's smile, hearing his laugh. We were so close. How long had he been sick, and how could I not have noticed?
James puts his hand on my shoulder, and I lean into him. He's stiff at first, but then rearranges himself in the seat to let me rest against his chest.
You know, he says softly, brushing back my hair as he talks, I can't remember what happened to my mother. I know that one day she was there, and then she was gone. I don't know if my parents fought, if she had a reason for leaving. When I asked my father, he told me that she had moved away for a job and then decided to stay, but that we were fine on our own. He pauses. $10 says his hand is bullshit.
I stop and wipe at my face, sitting up but staying close to him. He looks at me wide-eyed.
What? He asks.
We played bullshit in the program. Did you?
He laughs. No. I was in isolation most of the time, or at least that's what they told me. Seriously? You got to play cards?
James, I say, I used to play bullshit all the time with my brother.
His face clouds over and he reaches absently, tugging at a string hanging down from the bottom of my collared shirt.
Really?
I nod. I bet you played with us.
James doesn't meet my eyes, but pulls slowly on the string, unraveling the hem as if he's lost in a thought.
I can't remember who taught me, he says.
My brother did.
Possibly.
When the string finally breaks, James seems startled by the now uneven hem of my shirt.
Damn, I'm sorry.
But when he looks up, I don't respond. I can feel the puffiness of my face, and I'm sure that up close, still half leaning on him, I don't look great. But I'm trying to find something in his eyes, a feeling that I can identify. There are so many emotions raging inside of me, guilt, sadness, attraction.
Why are you staring at me again? He asks, although this time he doesn't sound like he's teasing me.
Realm said something to me before I left.
James rolls his eyes. Oh yeah? What was that?
He said. I pause, not sure I should even tell him. But it seems wrong to keep it from him, to keep anything from him. He said that he loved me, I say.
James lowers his head, twirling the piece of string around his finger.
And how do you feel? He asks.
Not the same.
Probably shouldn't lead him on by kissing him then, huh?
His tone is harsh, judgmental. I'm frozen for a second. I'd confided in him only to have him throw it back in my face. I move away from James then, pulling my seatbelt on and making it lock a few times in the process.
Just forget it, I say.
You wouldn't understand.
You're right. He switches the car into gear. I don't understand, and you don't owe me an explanation.
Thanks, I say bitterly. Glad you cleared that up.
We don't speak again, and I wonder how James can confess to me about his mother, only to turn cold in the next second. I wonder if he used to do this to Brady when they were friends. To me. I wonder if it was always this difficult to be around him,
When I get home, I slip through the back door, hoping my parents didn't notice that I was gone for the last hour. I can hear the sound of the TV in the living room as I climb the stairs, pausing at Brady's room. I go inside and lie across my brother's bed, staring up at the ceiling and hoping it will reveal secrets, stolen memories. "What happened to you?" I ask, meaning it for both my brother and for myself. I'd searched my room, hoping to find something else, but there was nothing there. Hardly any pictures outside of family ones. There was no obituary for Brady, cut out and laminated with a prayer on the back. No newspaper article immortalized in a scrapbook. I know better than to ask my mother, her lies seeming to mount. I'm not sure what happened to me and her, but I don't trust her anymore. She called Kevin to report me. I bet she had something to do with me getting sent to the program in the first place. In my pocket, my cell phone vibrates, and I quickly take it out, hoping it's Realm, even though we didn't exchange numbers. I pause when I see James's name flashing on the screen. I click it off and put the phone back in my pocket. Being around him is so confusing. We share a past, but every time we get closer to finding out what it is, he backs away. He hurts me. I don't think I can take any more hurt right now. I curl up on my side, thinking things over, when a knock on the door startles me. I look up to see my father.
"Hey, honey," he says. "I was just coming up to say goodnight, but you weren't in your room. What are you doing in here?"
Blinking quickly, I sit up. "I miss Brady," I say, trying to gauge his reaction. His face falters, his brown eyes weary as he rubs at them.
"Me too," he answers.
His khakis are wrinkled, and the faint smell of alcohol clings to him. I wonder when he started drinking. We're quiet for a long moment, and I bite my lip, trying to decide if I should ask. "Dad," I start, "did Brady commit suicide?" My father takes in a harsh breath. He doesn't respond right away as he lowers himself onto the bed next to me. And then, to my absolute horror, he covers his eyes with his hand. His shoulders are shaking.
"Yes," he chokes out. "Brady killed himself."
My body stills as my emotions click together, even though there are no memories attached. But it's like my feelings, my grief, finally make sense. As my father tries to pull himself together, I try not to fall apart. Realm told me the truth. What else does he know? "And what about us?" I ask my father. "Were we okay after? Me, you, and Mom?" My dad looks at me, his dark eyes unfocused and red-rimmed.
"No, sweetheart," he whispers. "We really weren't."
I nod, knowing somewhere inside that it's true, that this idea of our family moving on so easily after losing Brady was absurd. "I hate that I can't remember what happened to him," I say.
"Why?" he asks seriously. "It's a gift. I would give anything to take away the pain. The time when he was sick, that wasn't the real Brady. Not the real us. We've gotten the chance to reset, Sloane. We've gotten the chance to be happy again."
"Dad," I say softly, tears beginning to stream from my eyes. "None of us are happy." He doesn't deny it, doesn't even try to pretend that our family is pulling through. Instead, he stands up, touching the top of my head as he leaves the room. When he's gone, I curl up on the bed with my misery, alone and heartbroken. I want to know what happened to my brother, and I want to know what I used to be like. But most of all, I just want to be happy. After a short pity party,
I go back to my room and find Lacey's number where she scribbled it into my notebook. A headache has begun pulsing in my head, so I take a large dose of Advil before picking up my phone. Lacey is grinning from ear to ear when she pulls up to the corner at 9. "You're becoming such a rebel," she says as I climb into her neon green bug. Fast food bags are crumpled at my feet, all of the drink holders full. Lacey's wearing a plain yellow blouse, but her makeup is dramatic, very non-returner-like. It's awesome. "Are you sure you want to go to the wellness center?" she asks. "I thought you hated that place." "I do," I say. "But my handler is gone and no one's watching me anymore. Maybe I'll enjoy the experience this time." "Sloane," Lacey says in a low voice, "they're always watching. Never forget that." After a long pause, Lacey turns on the radio, filling the car with a pop song about love, its lyrics sickeningly sweet. I have to clasp my hands in front of me to stop from shutting it off and telling her all about James, about my brother. But I don't want to depress her. In my pocket, my phone buzzes with another text message, but I reach to turn up the volume of the radio instead of checking it. The wellness center is crowded when we walk in. With the popularity of the program growing worldwide, there has been a new push for assimilation. I saw it on MTV. Handlers line the walls, but between them, people are laughing, playing games. There's a new section with computer stations. A group of guys are crowded around one of them. They're all dressed in preppy clothes, and I glance down at myself and see that we match. It's like the uniform of the returners. I unbutton my shirt to the line of my bra and then follow behind Lacey as she makes her way to the couch. I can't believe I came back here, especially after vowing not to. But I needed to get out of my house, and this is the only place where people my age hang out anymore. At least, the only place where people like me, who have no other friends, hang out. Lacey collapses into the cushions, scanning the room as if looking for someone. "Who is he?" I ask, nudging her with my elbow. She widens her eyes innocently. "No idea what you mean. I swear I'm not searching for the guy who promised he'd be here tonight." "Oh," I say, smiling, "so I finally get to meet your mystery boyfriend?" Lacey turns to me. "I think it's about time." Her expression is more serious than I expect, but before I can ask for more details, I catch a black shirt out of the corner of my eye, the color shocking within this room. It's Liam. "I'll be right back," I say quickly, jumping up. Liam weaves through the crowd before slipping out the door to the back patio. When I get outside, the night air is crisp around me. Liam's facing away as he stands at the railing, looking toward the parking lot. We're alone out here, but I want to ask him about that first night I came back, how he knew me and James. "Hey," I say, drawing his attention. When he turns, I'm startled. Dark circles ring his eyes, and his hair is matted, unwashed. It strikes me then that he's sick. Oh God, he's sick. "Sloane." His mouth pulls into a sneer, anger and hatred painting his features. "Did they send you to collect me? Are they recruiting returners now?" My heart begins to thud in my chest, the idea that Liam's dangerous backing me slowly toward the door. "No one sent me," I say. "I just wanted to ask you something, but never mind, it's not that important." Liam lunges, his shoulder banging against the door to stop me from opening it. I gasp and step back. "I'd love to hear your question," he says, his eyes wild and unfocused. "I just want to go inside," I say softly. "Move, and I won't..."
"Won't what? Report me? Of course you will."
He's right. I will report him the first chance I get. He's infected. He can infect others.
Let me through, Liam, I say. He stares at me and then leans closer as if whispering a secret.
Do you remember me? He asks.
I remember you calling me a freak.
He smiles. Before that.
There's a twist in my gut.
No.
Just then the handle of the door turns, but Liam keeps his weight on it, preventing it from opening. I think about calling for help or running, but at the same time, I don't want to draw that kind of attention to myself.
We dated, he says, a bit of satisfaction in his voice. Nothing serious, but they took that memory anyway. What else did they take? Don't you see what you are? You're empty. You're nothing. And I'd rather be dead than be like you.
My lip begins to quiver as I'm filled with shame and humiliation, but mostly anger. I reach out to push him, only succeeding in making him stagger a step. He laughs and then coughs, bringing his hand to his mouth. When he pulls it away, there's blood smeared across his fingers.
What's wrong with you? I ask, stepping back.
Quick death, he says, because there's no point. We'll never be free of the program, and even when we are, who's to say they don't change the rules, that they don't come after us as adults?
My cousin? Liam says, tears beginning to gather in his eyes. He killed himself yesterday.
He was 21, Sloan. That means the epidemic is evolving.
Or maybe he just committed suicide, I say, my stomach in knots. Fists pound on the other side of the door, shaking it.
Liam coughs again, spitting blood onto the patio. Red streaks his lips.
He's going to die.
He's going to die if I do nothing to stop it.
I reach to take up my phone, but Liam slaps it from my hand, sending it across the wooden planks. His eyes momentarily roll back in his head before he focuses on me again. His body convulses. And then he collapses against the door, sliding to the ground, his eyes locked on mine.
You're no one, he whispers, before he goes still altogether.
I pause only a second, my breaths coming out in quick gasps like I might hyperventilate. The door shakes again, and I decide that I can't be here when they find him. I can't be involved in this. So I run, grabbing my phone on the way, and scramble down the stairs into the parking lot of the wellness center. I text Lacey and tell her that I'm at the car. We have to leave, now. As I wait there, hiding, people flood the patio. Handlers move people aside, the wellness staff clearly horrified that someone would commit suicide in such a safe place. I block out all the things that Liam told me. I block out his theories. Because an ache in my forehead is pulsing, worse than it was earlier. When Lacey reaches me, she looks frazzled. She doesn't say a word as we speed away, leaving the wellness center behind us. When we're a safe distance away, she finally turns to me.
Who was it? She asks.
Who terminated? Her face is pale with fear.
Liam.
Her eyes widen. Then she turns back to the road, pressing her lips together.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
You were smart to get out of there. Things are getting crazy. You feel it too, right?
And I do. But I'm not sure I can handle any more talk of the epidemic tonight, not when my head is killing me.
Yes, but I have to get home, I say. I don't want my parents to worry.
But really, I have something else in mind. I need to talk about tonight, both about my dad and about Liam. I need to talk to someone who'll understand. I need James.
Your parents? Lacey sounds surprised. Then she tightens her grip on the steering wheel. Maybe you're not as rebellious as I thought.
She pulls up to the corner before my house.
You better get out here, she says. Wouldn't want my car to give you away.
Her voice is tense, and I think she's shaken by the suicide. I just hope it's not enough to make her sick again. To make any of us sick.
Chapter 11
Later that night, as my parents sleep, I take a massive amount of Advil, get into my mother's car, and drive to see James. At the curb, I exhale and gaze at his large white house, wondering where his room is. I want to tell him that my father confirmed that Brady killed himself, and I want to tell him about what Liam said about the epidemic and how I had to watch him die from quick death. In my hand, my phone vibrates. I hope my parents haven't realized that I'm missing. I check the screen.
Why are you sitting outside of my house, Dogger?
I close my eyes. I'm just about to shove my phone back into my pocket and peel out when it vibrates again. I shouldn't even read it.
Stay there.
Yeah, right. I can't face him now. I turn the ignition, but a figure streaks across the lawn toward my car. I swear under my breath and wait. A second later, the door opens, flooding me with uncomfortable light as James gets in. When we're immersed in dark again, I feel him staring at me.
Well? He asks.
My heart races in my chest. I'm worried that he doesn't care about what I have to say. I shouldn't be here. Forget it, I tell him, sounding exhausted. This is dumb.
Where were you tonight? I texted.
I meet his eyes. I know, I went to the wellness center with Lacey, and something happened.
His shoulders tense and I go on.
That guy, Liam? He killed himself. He took quick death, but not before saying that he and I used to date, calling me empty for not remembering. He said that his cousin committed suicide yesterday at the age of 21. Liam says the epidemic is evolving.
You saw Liam die? James asks, ignoring the rest.
I nod. And I talked to my dad earlier, I say. He's drinking, he and my mother are fighting, everything's falling apart at home, but I finally asked him about my brother. Tears trickle over my cheeks. Realm was telling the truth. Brady did kill himself. I'm consumed with grief. Absolutely consumed.
I'm sorry, James says.
I shake my head. And I don't even know why I'm telling you all this. You made it pretty clear that you're not interested in finding out about the past.
No, James says coolly. I am not interested in your love life. I am, however, interested in finding out what happened to your brother and how I fit into it.
My face stings and I turn fiercely toward him. Why do you do that? I ask. Why do you say things that you know will hurt my feelings?
He flinches, but then fixes me with an annoyed look. Hurt your feelings? Sloane, I'm not your boyfriend. I don't even remember how we know each other. So whatever fantasy you've built up in your imagination, it's not real. Things weren't pretty before the program, so let's not start pretending they were. Don't make this more complicated than it needs to be.
The pain in my head suddenly explodes, and I cry out, leaning forward against the steering wheel. It's as if a hammer has just been smashed into my forehead.
Are you okay?
James touches my shoulder, sounding scared.
Just get out.
I close my eyes against the pain. I'm not sure what's happening to me, but it's intense. When I can straighten, James is trying to talk, but I don't listen.
Get out of the goddamn car, James!
He waits long enough for me to wonder if he will. When the interior lights come on, I know he's leaving. The door slams, but I can't move for a minute, waiting for the pain in my head to pass. It doesn't. And now a cracking sensation rips inside my chest. Your brain is like fine china. I open my eyes, squinting as I look out the windshield. I have to find Realm. Something is wrong with me. I think I'm breaking. It's dark as I drive up Realm's long driveway, my headache finally resolving into a bearable throbbing. It started raining the minute I pulled away from James's house, a sign of things to come, I guess. Now the pattering on my windshield comes harder. I hope Realm's home. He has to be. I knock impatiently on the door, soaked from the walk to his porch. My shirt clings to me, and my pulse is loud in my ears as the headache continues, making me weak all over. When I hear the locks click, I practically push my way in. Sloane? Realm stands there, rubbing at his hair, wearing just pajama pants and a terrified expression. What are you doing here? What's wrong?
I'm falling apart, I tell him, sounding desperate. I'm completely falling apart.
Sweetness. Realm hugs me, and I put my cheek against the warm skin of his chest. Sit down, he says, leading me to the couch. Outside, thunder booms in the sky, but Realm's living room is warm with the remains of a fire burning out. He sits next to me as I continue to shake, my wet clothes uncomfortable. What's going on? He asks.
Headache, I say, and pain in my chest, as if my heart is being torn out. It's overwhelming. I don't think I can survive it.
Shh, Realm says. Of course you can. You survived the program, didn't you? He pauses, letting out a harsh breath. Is this because of what I told you about Brady? Did I cause this?
No, it's not your fault. I asked my dad, and he confirmed that my brother killed himself.
I close my eyes, hating saying the words out loud. And then I went to the wellness center, and this guy said I was nothing without my memories. I look up to meet Realm's gaze.
Am I nothing?
No, you've just been cured.
Cured.
There was a time when I felt lucky to have been spared from the epidemic. But now it's left me a bundled mess, lost in my own life.
That guy from the center, I say. He died in front of me tonight. Quick death.
Afterward, I went to tell James, but he was so cruel, distant. And I don't know why, but it crushes me, the way James acts sometimes. I pause. That's when the headache got worse, and the pain in my chest started.
God, Realm, it's like I'm losing my mind.
Realm stares into his lap, his brow furrowed as if he's thinking. When he doesn't say anything, I take his hand. Why do I hurt so badly? I ask.
I haven't seen this in any other returners. I think I need my memories back.
You don't, he says. Sometimes it's better not to know. I look at his downcast dark eyes, his scarred neck. I think about how he loves me, how he saved me in the program too many times to count. My head pounds, my body aches, but I think that in this moment, maybe what I need is for someone to care about me. So I lean forward and kiss him, ignoring the sharp guilt that attacks my conscience. I push it away and let my mouth capture Realm's. It takes a second for him to react. And then he's kissing me, his hand around my waist as he pulls me onto his lap, peeling off my wet shirt. I want to forget about everything. I want to forget about James. My chest fills again with jagged pain, but then Realm rolls me off the couch, getting on top of me as we lie on the carpet. He's kissing my neck, his hands searching my body as I try to feel him. Feel what it would be like to be with him. But I'm a million miles away, and all I feel is lost and abandoned. I'm alone. Realm's mouth stops at my ear, panting wildly. I realize that I'm on my back, staring at the ceiling as tears leak from the corners of my eyes. Realm's hand slides away from my breast, and he turns me toward him.
You don't want this. He says, sadness in his voice. You still love him.
His words startle me, but I don't argue. He's put a name to the emotion raging inside of me. I know suddenly that I do love someone. Someone else.
Realm tries to laugh it away, shaking his head. God, he says. He's such a dick, too.
Realm lies next to me, shoulder to shoulder, as we both gaze up at the wooden-beamed ceiling.
It's James, isn't it? I ask softly, not sure what to do now.
Yep, Realm answers. You love him. Always have. And not being with him is confusing. You may not remember him, but your heart does.
Realm turns his face toward me.
I wanted to be the one to make you happy, but you'll always be his.
I swallow hard, not disbelieving it, but not understanding it either. Loneliness crawls over me. No, I say, that part of my life is over. I don't think he feels that way about me, at least not anymore.
He does, Realm sighs. He definitely does.
Was it because of Brady? I ask, thinking it's the clear explanation. Is that why James was with me, because my brother died?
No. You loved each other. I believe the word you used was madly.
He pauses.
You've always loved each other. You always will.
I lie next to Realm, half naked on his floor as he tells me that I love someone else, something I can't remember, but something I can feel. The frustration I came in with eases, although the headache is still there. And my headache? I ask.
Your brain is repairing itself. That one memory you had cracked the smooth sequence of events they placed in therapy. Your mind knows something is wrong. Now it's slowly binding back together. Let's just be glad it was one memory and not all of them.
I look sideways at him, wondering if he truly believes that I'm better this way. Why don't you want me to remember everything? I ask. What could I have told you that was so awful that it's worth living like this?
Realm smiles sadly. Some things are better left in the past, for all our sakes.
Tears run from his eyes then, and I think about what I've done to him tonight, how I've wronged him. So if I have these feelings about James, where does it leave you?
In love with a girl who loves another. Very Shakespearean, if you ask me.
I lean into him, putting my hand over his heart and wishing I could care about him in the same way. But even now, even when James is still so far away from me, I know that I can't love Realm. He's not mine. We settle in next to each other, the coals in the fireplace burning out. The guy that died, I say quietly. He said the epidemic is spreading to adults. Realm tenses. What happens if that's true? I ask.
You shouldn't worry about things like this so soon after treatment, he says. You should be focusing on recovery, listening to your handler when he warns you of...
It occurs to me that I haven't told him about Kevin. Realm, I say, they pulled Kevin off my recovery.
He looks over at me immediately. When did that happen?
Yesterday.
Realm swears under his breath, but then apologizes. Don't worry, he says. I'll check into it. I'm sure you're just too damn healthy to need a handler or something.
He lies back, but I notice a crease between his eyebrows as he stares away. I trust him to find out what happened. I think then that I should get up, put my shirt on at least, but instead we stay like this for a long time, not saying anything else. It's nearly 3 a.m. when I get back out to the car, my headache little more than a dull throbbing now. I'd thought Realm would ask me to stay the night, but then he reminded me that my parents would probably report it if they woke up to find me missing. I didn't want to leave, though. I liked the freedom of being off the grid, if even for a few hours. No one watching me, dissecting my movements. Tomorrow I might have a new handler to face, or at the very least, I'll have to face my parents. I'll have to face James. Just then my phone vibrates in my pocket, and I smile, thinking it's Realm, who wouldn't give me his number but took mine. But when I look at the message, my heart skips a beat. It's James. Don't read it, Sloane, I tell myself, dropping it onto the passenger seat before turning up the radio.
I'm finally feeling decent for the first time in a while, and I don't need him screwing it up. I make it through one light before picking the phone back up and checking it.
Are you okay?
Smiley face for yes, sad face for no.
Idiot. I ignore him, continuing to drive home, thinking about what Realm said. That sometimes it's better not to know.
Maybe I should believe him. He has no reason to lie to me.
In my lap, my phone buzzes with another message. I'm in front of your house. Come outside.
What is he doing at my house? I pull to the side of the road to type back a reply. A bitchy one.
Not home. Just leaving Realms. The minute I write it, I want to take it back. The spike of guilt slamming me hard. Realm said that I'd loved James. Not just that he was my boyfriend, but that I loved him madly. I look at my phone, but it's silent. I hate myself right now.
On a romantic stormy night, I'm sure that didn't give him the wrong idea.
I groan.
Thought you didn't care.
First he pushes me away and then has the nerve to, I don't, night.
It's like the bottom drops out, leaving me sick to my stomach. But I know what it is now, the emotion. Should I tell James about our past? Does he even deserve to know that we'd had a relationship?
I glance at the clock. It's late, and I decide to shut off my phone, blocking James out of my life. I have to stay away from him. He's toxic to me. And I don't want to go back to the program. I could never get through it again. So I pull back out onto the wet streets and find my way home, sneaking in without my parents ever hearing a thing. I'm exhausted as I pull into Sumter's parking lot before school. There was no handler waiting on my porch when I left, so my mother let me borrow her car. I thanked her, even though it took all my restraint to not call her out on her lies about my brother. Either way, I assume I'm free from monitoring now, although I've gotten no confirmation from Realm or the program. When I get out, James is standing next to his father's car, texting on his phone. Mine vibrates in my pocket, but I don't even look at it. When I turned it on this morning, I had 5 missed messages. But even now, I don't read them and just go inside the school. In the past day, have you felt lonely or overwhelmed?
No.
I scan the rest of the questions as I sit in first period and realize that I'm going to have to lie on this entire questionnaire. Filling in the rest, I stop at the last question, taking a breath. Has anyone close to you ever committed suicide?
Yes, my brother, maybe others too.
But what do I fill in? The program doesn't think I know. They think they've stolen the memories away. I nearly break off the tip of my pencil, filling in no.
Are you ignoring me? James whispers as he walks past my desk in math class. He doesn't wait for me to respond as he goes to sit in his seat, but his tone is clear. He's annoyed.
Well, he can go to hell because I'm not taking the bait this time. I stare down at my desk, pretending he didn't ask, and open my notebook. The class drags on, and I hear someone clear their throat repeatedly from the back. At one point, I sigh heavily and turn around to see James staring at me. I roll my eyes and go back to my math problems. My phone buzzes, and I think that I shouldn't look, that I shouldn't give in to his tantrums. Discreetly, while the teacher is reading aloud from the textbook about a formula I can't quite remember, I check my phone.
You look nice today. Oh, and I'm an asshole. Sorry.
I press my lips together, trying not to smile. I will not let him make me smile.
Not accepted.
Way to take the high road, Sloane. Did your tongue say goodbye to your friend again last night? I bet he liked that.
You said you didn't care. Get over it.
Maybe I'm concerned about your reputation.
I stifle a laugh. Really?